You know, we're just thinking this morning, and one thing I thought about, and that is how we all have so been so blessed of the Lord. And one thing we think, God has made promises to us, and we believe those promises when we first heard them and when we first saw them in dreams and visions. And but one thing I thought about, and we mention it sometime, all the time we mention it, is when we think that we are ready for all of God's blessings, all that God has in store for us, God says, you're just getting ready for my preparation and purification of it. We as believers in Jesus Christ today know that we have a destiny. Our eternal perspective, that we know that our destiny is to be with God in heaven, to worship him forever, to be working for him. That is our destiny. That is our eternal destiny. We know that for a fact. But our focus today is his destiny that he has for your life today. There is a destiny in the life to come. We all understand. We're not talking about that right now. The part of experiencing your destiny is understanding when God has given you something, we're working toward that mark, and all of a sudden there's a blockade, there's a detour that has to be taken. When you look at Scripture, it is all full of destinies being reached through detours, through problems, through blockades. There is no individual in the Bible that shows up, that shows us this principle of detours and its relationship to destiny like the life of Joseph. You have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 37, chapter 37. And we know that most women here, y'all love novels, romantic novels, novels, drama, all types of novels that you like reading. And one thing about those novels, you get real, especially suspense novels. You know, the movie, it takes you through all sorts of twists and turns, and you know, sometimes we get over anxious of how the story is going to end. And, you know, it's like a story in a story. We just so engrossed in it. Story in a story in a story in a story. And what happens is that we don't have time. We lose patience. And so what we do, we'll wind up, I'm going to read the end of this thing first. So I got to find out what's happening. So I'm going to read the end of the book first, and then I'm going to come back and read. Sometimes we feel better when it's like that. It's like that with us. Even physically, when God says, I'm going to bless you, this is your destiny. This is what I have for your life. Then he shows you a picture and a dream, a vision. He tells you what it's going to be like at the end. Then all of a sudden he backed you up, said, we got to walk through this thing now. So Genesis 37, a book of Joseph. But this story is so exciting, so inspiring, so uplifting. I'm going to give you a chapter, a glimpse of the finished, what happened after all this. In the, I think it's Genesis 50 in chapter 50, verse 19, this is the end of the story where some of the readers will get impatient from the beginning, so we go back and do the end. So we go back to the beginning in a minute. But this ending, it helps us to understand the concept of destiny. It says, but Joseph said to them, meaning his brothers, be not afraid, for I am in God's place. Now, you just got a hint of your destiny. That's what they gave us. Destiny is being in the place God has for you. As for evil, God meant for good. and spoke kindly to them. Notice that phrase as you, it says, it's what God meant, what is meant for evil against me, God has meant it for good. Now that tells me something about destiny. It includes evil and good. It is not all good going to your destiny. It's some bad stuff on the way to our destiny that's going to happen. There are a lot of bad people on the way to our destiny. There are a lot of bad choices made on the way to our destiny. But don't get stuck there. So many times, God gives us something. He has something for us. And it's one hurdle after the other. Lord, I don't believe this is you. We got our minds all changed up, and we change what God wants us to do instead. But we get so much engrossed in what's happening now that we get stuck there, and a lot of times that's where we quit. Don't get stuck there. Because he says, even though there is bad, he says that God is doing well. So you have bad and good simultaneously taking place at the same time. You know, that's almost an impossibility. Just like we say, well, we got light and darkness, all simultaneously happening at the same time. But God, all things are possible. He can allow bad and good to happen at the same time in your life while he is taking you to your destination. But what you don't want to do is add more chapters to this book. I already showed you the end. We don't want to get caught up and add more chapters to it. That's a whole lot of chapters to be reading. I think 50 was quite sufficient. You already in a detour, so you don't want to detour in the detour to keep detouring. So we're not going to add any more chapters to that book. Now let's go back to the beginning of the story in Genesis chapter 37. We find in verse 2, and I just took this out because this is important. Joseph, when 17 years old, that's how old Joseph was. Now he is the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob is born into a dysfunctional family. Now his daddy, Jacob, is Joseph's daddy. Ever since he was a little boy, he was a deceiver. He was a trickster. His name means trickster, because he was always deceiving somebody out of something in order to get it his way. He is a manipulator by trade. He explains that's why which explains his children, because his children became manipulators. Because what you and I pass on to our children, we pass on not only our good looks, we pass on to our children our bad habits, whether it be bad or good. So the deceiver gave birth to the deceivers. He loved Joseph more than all the other sons because he is his son in his old age, and made him a multicolored coat, or today's language, an elegant robe. He didn't make anything for anybody else. He made a robe for his favorite kid, his favorite baby in the family, baby boy Jacob, Joseph. When he made him this special coat, notice what happens in verse 4. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. I think King James says, could not speak peaceably unto him. So now we have a sibling situation, because dad is playing favorites. Now they hated him all the more, not just because he got a pretty robe. But see, that would have been a bad enough in itself. But the robe, that's supposed to go to the eldest son, because it was the firstborn who was to be the most recognized. It was the firstborn who got double inheritance. So they introduced what this robe meant. They knew. They understood what this robe meant. The role meant that he was going to be treated like the firstborn, even though he was the youngest one born. He was the last born. And they hated him. And they would not speak peaceably unto him. They talked about him. They degraded him. And some of you know what that is like. You know what it's like not to be able to communicate with your siblings, with brothers and sisters, because of what they went through with daddy and mama. But it's not over, because now Joseph had a dream. Oh, Lord, he had a dream. I don't mean like that Martin Luther King dream. This boy had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, verse 5 says, when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now here in that verse 6, he says to them, listen to the dream I had. Then he goes to verse 7 and tells them what it's about. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose up and also stood up erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheave. He was daddy's favorite boy. Now they already don't like the boy. And you're going to tell them you had a dream where they bowed down to you. Now, what was their response? Verse 8. Then his brothers said to him, you are actually going to reign over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. But not only that, they're not finished yet. Verse 9 says, now he still had another dream. Look, this boy need to stay awake. This boy don't need to go back to sleep. He had another dream. And he related it to his brothers and said, lo, I had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bound down to me. Verse 10, he related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground? Now you have family chaos, a bad daddy background. Your birth mother has died. Your brothers don't like you, can't stand you, don't want to have anything to do with you. And now you're going to tell them that you had a dream where you're going to be served by them. Joseph has made 3 mistakes here. And I want you to listen to these mistakes, because somewhere where God has a destiny for us, we possibly have made some of these mistakes. But just because God gave you a dream, he showed you your destiny, and you made a mistake, don't mean that God is not still with you. Joseph had, he made 3 mistakes. We know his brothers have issues. We know that his daddy has issues. But he made 3 mistakes. Number 1, at the end of verse 2, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to his father. He is a tattletale. He is sneaking off. Let me see what the boys are doing. Daddy, 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 guess what they did? Guess what they are doing? If your brother is telling on you to your daddy, you're not going to think much of your brothers either, your brother either. Let's say you had a job. Let's see if we can put that first one in today's language. And you didn't get that promotion, or you're trying to get a promotion, or God showed you that you're going to be promoted. But you're going around to the boss to tell him what all the other employees are doing. You want to ensure your position. I wouldn't like you either. Mistake number two. He told his dreams to people, to folk who don't like him. You don't tell folk who can't stand you about your dreams. Where they're going to be underneath you. Some dreams you need to keep to yourself. Now that may be God-given dreams, but it's God-given to you. Or people who are going to support you, not people who are going to hate you already. Mistake number three. He was sporting his tunic, his coat of many colors. We read in the beginning of the chapter that he is taking care of flock with his brothers. They already don't like him. They already speak harshly to him. He is taking care of the flock with his brothers. Now he gets booted and suited up. He has this multicolored, flamboyant coat. Everybody else is riding up to the job on bikes. This dude pulls up in a brand new car, steps out with his flamboyant robe, with his boots shining. He wanted to rub his favoritism in the face of his brothers, who already can't stand him. Joseph is immature. Sometimes we think we are ready for God to bless us now. God says, no, I got to do some work on you first, because you can't handle what I have for you at the end of this destiny. You need to grow up. I'm going to let things happen. I'm going to have you to detour yourself to a road that's going to have a detour. You can't go. And I want you to go down this road because I'm going to teach you about yourself. You think you're ready? I'm going to show you. So Joseph is going to have to grow up before he can realize his dream, which means he needs a detour. His father sends him on a trip to his brothers. He says, I want you to go. He says, I want you to go, talking about a detour, he says, I want you to go check on your brothers. So he goes looking for them. And in verse 18, when they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. Verse 19, they said to one another, here comes the dreamer. They said one to the another, behold, this dreamer cometh. In other words, here comes somebody who thinks that he is something. Remember, the dream was that he was going to be over us? Here comes somebody who thinks that he is better than us. He thinks that he is higher than us. In other words, his God is given calling has already been readjusted by his own family, because they weren't spiritual enough to understand it. That's why we can't tell everybody what God is doing for us. So if you are pursuing the Lord and folks don't understand where you're coming from, they maybe your immediate family, who knows, or your extended church family, could be anybody. They don't understand where you're coming from. But you know God is leading you. That's all you need to keep in focus. God is leading me. Because all through that chapter, this says the Lord was with Joseph. They said in verse 20, let's kill him. Throw him into one of the pits. And we will say that a wild beast had devoured him. One thing about the pits that were out there, at this time of the year, those pits normally would be full of water. God made a pit stop. Verse 22. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Verse 23. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him. I told y'all this boy was wearing this thing. Sometimes when God is taking us on a detour, he allows us to be stripped of things we love the most. This boy, I can see Joseph now. Oh, he had this thing, probably was a double-breasted. Now, what the new suit, son? Now, y'all brought me one of them things. The European cut, the slender thing, with the narrow lapel. Chest all out, sporting it. These boys stripped him. Stripped him of the things most precious, most valuable. He looked like he was finally moving up. He was being recognized as royalty. And when he had been stripped, it's like you have been working at a job, giving all you have to that job, and you wind up with a pink slip. When you have been doing better than everybody else, and you thought that you were doing the greatest job, you thought that you were doing this great job to enhance your career at that job, but you've been stripped. You can be stripped of your dignity when you're giving the best that you have to somebody you cared for, and they walk out on you. You've been stripped. Because when you are on God's design detour, see, God orchestrates everything, every step that we take in our lives. We think that when we make a mistake and go the wrong way, we think that it's us, but God said he wanted you to go that way because some things had to be broken down, some things you have to be stripped of, because where he has to take us, we can't have this trash with us. That's why he had to take you to a course where you will be stripped. Instead of things sometimes getting better, you find them getting worse. Especially when you have been stripped on something that you were wrapped in, that was covering you, that was close to you. It says they stripped him of it. In verse 24, and they took him and threw him into the pit. See, that's why God had to make that pit stop first. The boy would have drowned if they had thrown in that pit. Now the pit was empty and without water. Anybody ever felt, or you may be feeling like you, right now, that you're in a pit? It's a hole that you even can't get out of. I don't care how you try to climb out, you just get deep and deep in it. The situation can't be fixed. There may be a child that you can't control. He won't listen to you. Maybe they own drugs, own something, and you're just fed up with everything that you try to do. You come to your wit's end, you just feel like you're in a hole. It's a boss that can't stand you. You can't even get away from him even though you tried. You got co-workers all around you who won't leave you alone. You got family members who just driving you nuts. It's a mate that is unresponsive, and you find yourself stuck. Because when God takes you on a tour, on a detour, you often may wind up in a hole. Joseph didn't create he didn't create the hole. He didn't make the hole. He was thrown in a hole. You are here today and you want your destiny. I would not be true to the word of God if I didn't tell you that there are going to be some dry spots on the journey. I have to tell you, there is some wilderness on the way. places that you don't want to stop, you're going to have to stop. There'll be places he'll send you where nothing seemed to be happening, and you'll find yourself stuck in a bad place. Now, the dreamer is thinking, my dreams are shattered. Now, put yourself in Joseph's place. Lord already showed him what his destiny was. I read it to you in verse 50 and 19. He says, God allowed, don't you fear not. God put me in this place. God has a place for us. But just because things don't not going well, just think now, if God says he saw the end, God took him back to the beginning, he was actually living this thing, just imagine what that boy thought when the brothers and family and was trying to kill him. Now the dreamer's thinking, my dreams are shattered. I had these great dreams. I thought I was going to be something. I thought I was going to be somebody. I thought I was going somewhere. Now I have gone to a royal robe, to a hole. This man has got to be disappointed. And maybe even disappointed with God. I heard people said things happen bad in their lives. They thought it would happen one way, but it didn't happen that way. Not only are they disappointed, but they get disappointed with God. Because God, how could you let this happen to me? How could you let me be thrown in a hole when you say you love me? How could you do this to me when you told me you trust? When I told you, I said, I trust you, but how could you do this to me? How could you do this? My own family members are doing me in. How could you let me be in this hole? When you are in a hole, have no way out, you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You're on a detour because detours are a divine design. Because God must address our character. He must mature us. If he's going to trust us with his destiny, the destiny that he has for us. Verse 27 says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's go back to verse 25. Verse 25, they set him down to eat a meal. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. But on their way to bring them down to Egypt, but Joseph was in a hole. Some Israelite traders came along, and they said, let's sell him. Let's get rid of him for some silver and sold him. They sold their brother into slavery. He is a slave now. He is being sought and sold like cheap property. One minute he was living large. When I say living large, it's to me, it's like being in the White House next to the outhouse. I was in the White House one day, and now I find myself in the outhouse. One minute, he is somebody. Next minute, he's a nobody, just a slave. The man had a dream about a destiny. And the last line I read said that they took him down to Egypt. They sold Joseph out of the pit to slave traders who brought him. He didn't have a chance to say, goodbye, daddy, goodbye, brothers. He got ripped away from his family. didn't even get to see say goodbye to Benjamin. Not even Reuben. He was sold to traders who brought him to Egypt. And at the end of the book, it's chapter 50, it says that God, he says, God has not brought me to this place yet. He says, God has brought me to this place. God was responsible. He said, fear not. God was responsible for me being in this place. That was what we read in 50. He says, God brought me here so that I could deliver you. So God's plan for Joseph was to get him to Egypt so that he could fulfill his destiny. God's plan to send us, allow things to happen to us or with us so that we can reach our destiny, so we could glorify God in our destiny. But in order to get to the last chapter, he had to go back to a 17-year-old boy in chapter 37. He had to strip him of his tunic, give his dreams separate from him, from his family. He had to be separated from his family. He was sold into slavery. He had to go to Egypt so God could fulfill his destiny. So you may be in a bad place right now. You may be in a pit right now. There may be no water for nourishment right now. No nourishment, no support. You may feel all alone right now, all by yourself. But God, I am going to call on you in the middle of your pit. God says, I'm going to call on you in the middle of your pit. I'm there where you see me, where it's, I may be silent, but I'm still there with you. You are my child. I'm leading, I'm guiding, I'm directing you. You think you made this turn on your own. You thought somebody else, I shouldn't have listened to them because I would have gone and did what God told me. But no, God put them there because he allowed people to turn you to the way that God, he wants you to go. Sometimes we look back on and say, oh, I made a mistake. I didn't hear from God. I thought I heard from God. He told me I was going to be at this place. He opened the door for me and I walked right on in just to find out I'm in a mess. Maybe I didn't hear from him. I can't get along with the people I work with. I feel like smacking my boss. God, you gave me this job. Now why? Why you allow this to happen to me? You know, so often, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we have to give thanks. God, I had no idea that you told me we could do this. And we went on and done it. And now I'm in a financial breakdown. But you said it, Lord. Maybe we didn't hear from you. God says, you heard from me. And I tell you, depend on me for everything. The reason that happens is says you got some growing up to do. You talk a good game. You talk like you know me so well. But I made this detour. I want you to walk this way because I'm tired of your talking. I want you to walk like it. I want you to illustrate me to a world that don't understand what's going on with you. But you can tell them once I bring you through that it's God on all the time. Whether you spoke to me, whether you didn't speak to me, whether you stepped on me, whether you gave me praise, or whether you shook me down, it was God through that. That's why I'm looking to you. That's why I can praise him when I just got fired. That's why I can praise him when my car just broke down. That's why I can praise him when I don't have no money in the bank. Because God says I'm going to be where he says I'm going to be in that destiny. He says I'm going to put you in a new car. He said I'm going to put you in a new house. He said I'm going to have your finances all straight. So you praise me now. You represent me in the bad times. Amen. And I see you through to the good times. Because I can trust you now. You have matured now. You know how to handle my stuff now. I will not bless you with anything that's going to tear you away from me. I'm not going to bless you with anything that you're not going to give me credit, honor, and glory to my Father for. So you having a bad time? I planned it. I ordered it. You know, 24 and a half years ago. Going back to the land. Oh man, we had some high times. You know, we went from the house to rented a place, and man, we were doing good. God started blessing us with the people coming in, and God says, we're going to have this, we're going to get this land, and we're going to have this building up. And oh Lord, man, things were going on pretty good. Then we went to look at this place up there, and God said he wanted so much money for it, and everybody's, the people tell you, do it, get it. It's a good thing we listen to God. No way we could handle that. And about 30 some days later, half of them were gone who said, get it. God says, I think last time I talked to you about planting a seed, sowing seed. But you know, we still sow seed of loving God, sowing seed of loving one another, sow seeds of knowing how to act as a family, respecting one another, loving one another, giving one another, helping one another. And God looks at all that. And now we threw that seed of believing God for land. We never stop believing, never stop seeking, never stop going. Where would we think that God said, go over here, we go, and we walked on land, we claimed it. It wasn't that land, but we claimed land. We were sowing some faithful seeds there. And out of nowhere, and with this last little piece, oh man, the time before the last piece, we knew we had that. Went down, talked to the city, and met with the people that can make this thing happen, and didn't happen. But nobody was depressed. You know, you felt a little bad, you know. I said, oh man, why can't it? But it was not, God, it's not our fault. We do nothing. We were ready. And then this land came out of nowhere. Didn't hardly do anything. And we got it. It's ours. You cannot give up on what God has showed you, what God has promised you. You can't do it. We have to stop complaining. It's one thing that I said, and I always resonate through my heart all the time, said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I don't care what the day looked like. I'm going to rejoice. I don't care what I lost during this day. I'm going to rejoice. I don't care how much I've gained this day. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Tomorrow is not promised. That's why I said, you know, you as family members, I looked at this, the pastor he didn't know that he won't going to make meet his destination. He didn't know that he wasn't going to see his, I think it was a son that didn't go, a daughter, some one of them didn't go. Son, you got this. This stuff you got going on with one another, you got to break that down. You got to let it go. Let it go. You just don't know. Tomorrow's not promised. God is going to take us to our destiny. And man, you think you're shouting now in the midst of bad times? Just think how much you're going to shout in the midst of good times. Let's pray. Father,